All right, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that nice, edifying welcome. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we begin. God, we are amazed by you every single day. We know that you love us, that you care for us, and that you watch out for us, and we're so grateful for all those blessings, and we're thankful for Jesus and the fact that he came to this earth and lived a life, and he can be our intercessor, and he loves us, and we can trust him. And we're so grateful for our spiritual family. We pray that you'll be with us tonight as we study from your word, that we will find more information out, we will learn more how we can edify, build one another up, so that we can all make it to heaven and be with you one day. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the goal is to finish up what we were started talking about last time, this edification. It's lesson 13. And then there's a lesson 14, which is almost like a review, but sort of like what would stop us from moving forward. So we'll look at the possible obstacles to success and see how we can maybe beat some of those obstacles. So we're on lesson number 13. And before we get into more of the questions, we have a few people who have filled out their edification. And I'm going to show you how to do it in a minute. The edification profile. So Patsy's is this. Patsy was born in Athens, Alabama, 1959. She has two older brothers and a younger sister. That's Retha, who was baptized in December. Patsy is glad to have her sister at PSD and loves her family and is a proud aunt, grand aunt, and great-great aunt, or great aunt and great-great aunt. Patsy has been at PSD since 1995, except for 2 years when she went back to Parr to encourage her family. She missed it at PSD and felt like she was home when she came back. She loves her PSD family and enjoys getting together with them at services and outside of services. She and Retha enjoy inviting members out to eat and being invited out to eat with other activities. Patsy loves children and elderly people. She enjoys encouraging and being encouraged by the Golden members. She also enjoys being with her age group as she grew up with many of the members. Patsy enjoys crocheting and enjoys crocheting Christmas stockings for the newlyweds and new babies, any age as well. So if you need a Christmas stocking, there you go. She loves it when they send her pictures of them hanging up. Patsy enjoys baking and loves to collect recipes and cookbooks. She has wanted to write a cookbook for a long time. She enjoys making communion bread, and her favorite treat is Krispy Kreme donuts. One of her talents is handwriting, cursive, and printing. She loves to send cards and receive them. She enjoys using her handwriting for preparing Bible class and making bulletin boards. She used to prepare individual handouts for each student before we had printers available. She has missed teaching Bible classes, and her sister wants them to teach together. She also collects postcards and enjoys receiving them from people on vacation. Being at worship services is her happy place. So a lot of things you find out about her from that, so that's very helpful. Next time you guys go on vacation, send Patsy back a little postcard. She'll love that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that one for a while. If you go to Krispy Kreme and you just stop by her house and drop her off a few, she'll be happy. I'm sure she likes the hot ones probably, like everybody else likes the hot ones. And then Retha actually filled hers out as well. Retha was born in Athens, Alabama, moved to Florida. She graduated from Apopka High School and went on to the University of Florida and received her EFDA degree. I think that has something to do with being a dentist assistant, okay. Retha loves arts and crafts, boating and fishing, swimming, writing, poetry, and spending time with family, friends, and her grandchildren. Her happy place is at the beach. Retha is more of a visual learner and is not afraid to admit she is computer illiterate and is slow at typing and texting. So don't get into long texts with Retha. She'll say, "Can you just call me?" She loves to talk, sometimes too much. Retha is a giver and loves to give. That is where she gets true joy. She is not a taker and has a hard time accepting gifts or help from others, even if she is in desperate need. She doesn't like to feel like she is a bother to or burden to others. Her hidden flaw is that she has anxiety and panic attacks. Goes back to a terrible accident she had in a car one time, so you might want to ask her about that. She tries her best to hide it. Retha has worked in retail management, daycare director and teacher, as a dental assistant, managing apartments and more. Retha is very hands-on and creative. She is not afraid of hard work. Aretha loves to volunteer and is willing to help whenever she is needed. Aretha loves God and all her heart and soul and loves trying to bring others to Him. Aretha does not want to be a gray rock and wants to continue in the Lord. Aretha's grandchildren love God, Bible class, getting to know the other children at PSD, and inviting friends and family to come to services. Aretha loves children and the elderly and is edified by them. So several things there for you to think about. Terry Tokash, I think, is next. I, Terry, was born and raised in the country of Western New York. I met and married Stacy while becoming a huge Gator fan while living in Gainesville before moving there, I love playing sports and board games, having people over, and apologetics. I'm most edified when I find the courage to evangelize to others, and when I'm teaching kids in Bible class and are prepared to know their stuff, I'm most likely to be encouraged to do something if you express your gratitude for it. And I forgot one part of that up there. I love spending time with my family. So that was part of his profile. And then Emery's profile. Grew up here in Orlando, taught by my father to do a multitude of household repairs and some gardening. Logic and organizational skills taught by mom, despite prior generations going to University of Florida. So you had three University of Floridas. You know, one decided not to go, two went. So going to UF and father born on campus, I went to FSU for my higher education. Dad taught me to respect, serve, and to be a leader, not a follower. Still working on these lessons. Personal plan. Don't be impassive. Take responsibility. Be courageous. Seek the greater reward. His book, Raising a Modern Day Knight. So we're asking everyone to write one of those for themselves. There are a list of six or seven questions that Brian sent out that we answered several weeks ago that makes a great template to do this. And it makes it really easy. Just answer those questions, one or two sentences in each one, and boom, you're done. So here is how to do it. You go to the website. Ryan has worked on this. He helped us. He entered a field to make it a little easier for us. So you go to the website. At the top, it has members. You go down after you're logged in to directory. Once you get to directory, you will see this page. You can't go to your actual listing. You have to go this way first, I believe. So you go here. You click on edit your directory listing. After you do that, your directory listing will automatically come up, and you can go to yourself. You can actually do all the members in your family. So if you have kids, we're encouraging you to do your kids as well, things that they like. You can go to any member of your family and enter those profiles in under each one. So each individual person is going to have a spot in their directory under their name that says Edification Profile. And so once you get down there, you're going to get this slot here that says Edification Profile, and you can type right in the box. You can cut and paste, but I think they like you to either use the little clipboard or Control V. What's the paste? Control V? Control V, and then it'll come up. They don't like you just cutting and pasting. That's a congregate thing, I think. I'm going to send out an email tomorrow with some instructions. Unfortunately, I did a sample through Congregate, and I had all the pictures on the email, but Congregate didn't like that, and so I was not able to get that to work, so I'm trying to figure that out. So hopefully you'll be able to get it. Call Brian, call me, call Ryan, and Ryan's okay with that. And if you don't want to do it, you can just email it to us, and one of us will do it for you. Any questions on that? We're almost begging you to do it, okay? Please do it. Because it is helpful. It's nice to know more about people. I think the more we know about one another, the more we have things to talk about, and the closer that we can get to one another. Some of it might seem, hey, that's pretty just basic information, but that stuff's good information to know as well. Yeah, you learn a lot about people that way. So we were looking last time at the different stories in the Bible that we were alluding to, the Abraham offering a hospitality, Lot offering hospitality, the man in the book of Judges, Gibeah, who offered the hospitality to the stranger who came through town. He goes, look, no one's letting me stay at their house. I have food. I have food for my servants. I have food for my donkeys. I just need a place to stay. We looked at, noted the Good Samaritan on that. We noted the early disciples as well and their idea of hospitality. And some of the lessons that we looked at here, we should be looking for opportunities to help others. We should not think of ourselves as better than someone who is struggling. Don't judge the motives of others. There is more need out there than you might realize. We shouldn't think someone else will help. You know, that's that one thing. You know, someone else will do that. All of us have been guilty of that at some point in our life. Somebody else will take care of that. I'll let them do it. We can't have that attitude because sometimes things fall through the cracks that way. Be eager to help. I was impressed with Abraham. He saw these guys. I mean, he almost like begged them to stay at his house. So did Lot. And so did this man from Gibeah. They were like, no, 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 you have to come to my house. And so that was helpful. Give your best to the people you are helping. There are great benefits to yourself when you are hospitable. You don't do it for that reason, but you end up getting benefits yourself when you do kind things for other people. And everything we do should reflect God's love, and it should be for God's glory. So I had a couple more things that I think I've added up here, and we can continue talking about this for a few minutes. One thing is what I was impressed on is just going beyond what is required. Especially that man in Gibeah who, he could have said, okay, I'll give you a place to stay. You have food for yourself. You have food for your donkeys. I'll provide you a place to stay and that's it. But he doesn't do that. He basically tells the guy, you keep your food. I'll provide all of your food, all of your needs, and I'll provide the needs for your donkeys as well. That's pretty significant that he was willing to do that. You look at the good Samaritan. Again, beyond what was something that he, the least that he could have gotten by with and eased his conscience, right? He didn't just was trying to do the bare minimum to ease his conscience and fulfill a command. He was genuinely touched by this man's condition, had compassion on this man, and was determined to help meet his needs. And so many of these things, we talked about Abraham last time, giving the fatted calf. So there's a lot of these situations that go along that just show that don't always just do your minimum. And that goes so much what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as far as if someone sues you or they need to borrow something or if an army soldier asks you to, compels you, makes you carry his stuff 1 mile. You won't stand out if you do the bare minimums. But if at 1 mile, you continue to carry this man's stuff, even though you don't have to anymore, that stands out. And that really can lead people to the Lord. So people might be happy with generosity that is just meeting a need and that's it. They'll be thankful for that. But generosity that goes overboard is something that I think the Bible gives us a lot of examples of. Any thoughts on that comment? I think even with the follow-up, I think there was genuine concern by the Good Samaritan. He goes, when I come back, I'll take care of it. So what do you think he's going to ask when he comes back? How's the guy doing? You know, did you take care of him? Is he okay? And so there was follow-up with that. So sometimes it isn't just meeting the need. And you're probably all familiar with this, you've experienced it, that sometimes, let's just take a doctor. If a doctor, after a visit, calls your house and asks how you're doing, does that stand out to you? Hey, it does to me. You know, the dentist or something, I've had that happen before. You think, I'm out of his office, I'll go see him again next time when he has to check all these teeth he pulled or whatever it is. And before you know it, they're calling on the phone, and especially when it's the doctor, the dentist, him or herself, instead of just somebody from the office. It's like I'm concerned. So that shows a level of concern. And don't do it for just the accolades. Don't do it for the praise that you can get from that. The Bible teaches us a lot about that as well. All right, so anything else that you didn't get the chance to talk about last time, as it relates to those good examples we have in the Bible of hospitality, or any other examples in the Bible that you can think of hospitality that you'd like to talk about for a few moments? I won't like wait for a long time since I didn't give you a lot of time to prepare for this, but any thoughts? All right, well, these next two slides you did have time to prepare for. They were the questions that we sent out, so if I have to wait, I'll have to wait. How can we use hospitality to edify and build up? All right, raise your hand for a microphone. Brian has one and Will has one.
Well, we mentioned on Sunday, it just feels good to get an invitation, and just inviting someone to your home is a great statement of, I think you're valuable, I want to get to know you better, I'm bringing you into my closest, you know, circle, essentially, within my home. That can be very edifying.
Yeah, there is something, I mean, we've sort of gotten away from the home. You know, we go to restaurants, great, that's hospitality. Somebody takes you out to dinner, that's great, great place to do that. And we ought to keep doing that. You guys, most people here go out to eat on Sunday afternoons, right? How many of you go out to eat most Sunday afternoons? Raise your hand. Okay, quite a few people. How many of you go home almost every Sunday to eat at home? All right, a few, not many. So there is the Sunday afternoon time, which was when I was growing up, that was the huge hospitality time, right? And because we don't meet twice, that sort of cuts into that a little bit. But when you do go to someone's house, you know, see the pictures on the wall, and see all this neat stuff, it does bring an added dimension to it. So, and you feel good when someone invites you to their house or invites you out to eat. Will?
Yeah, I think it also allows you to get into different kind of conversations that are hard to get into at the building. So you get past the small talk, and you can start engaging while you're with that person in more maybe meaningful spiritual conversations.
Yeah, you're gonna have more meaningful conversations away from the building than you are gonna have at the building. I don't think there's any way around that. You get to know people on a deeper level when it's just a small group at the house. You're talking about things. You're able to open up about things. You find out a lot of things in their life that you didn't know before. Those are all helpful things. So that's good. Terry?
I think I maybe read the question wrong, but Will had a member of his congregation from where he was at before who needed, from Jacksonville, who needed a place to stay while he was doing internship type stuff for school. And the number of people that reached out and were willing to host him for that, he said was extremely edifying to him.
Good. So, all right, there you go. So Will and Sarah had a friend from Jacksonville who was here for a while, and multiple members had that individual in their home for 2 weeks at a time. So that was edifying for Will and Sarah, I'm sure, probably edifying for him as well. And the people who had him stay at their house, it was a good thing to do, and it probably made you feel good that you were able to meet a need. Any like practical, thoughtful things that we can do that might sort of bust open the gates, if you will, of hospitality. Here. I'll give you one thing, and I may have mentioned this before, I'll just give you a little more detail about it, that we've done at two different congregations. It was a lot of fun, and it got different people mixed with people they normally do not know. And that was a thing that we did was called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, where basically the Tokashes would say, we can have 6 grown-ups and 3 kids. That's how many people we can have at our house. And I would find 6 grown-ups and 3 kids, and the Tokashes would have no idea who was coming to their house that night. And the people going to the Tokashes' house would have no idea until it was time for them to go to the house. I'd call them up, and I'd say, all right, you're going to the Tokashes tonight. Be there at 7. And then you would know, and you'd show up, and then ideally, when the Tokashes opened the door, it would be the very first time they realized he was coming to their house. We had a lot of fun. There was one lady that participated in this, and it was so funny because she hated asking people to her house. She hated the possibility of rejection. Even if somebody had a legitimate reason not to come, she still took that personally. And so through the years, it became this debilitating thing for her where she just didn't ask anybody over because they might say no. And so she was able to do this. She liked doing breakfast. So she would, a lot of times, she'd make breakfast on Saturdays and have people over. She goes, I don't have to ask anybody. You know, you ask them. I don't know who's coming. It's great. And so she participated in that, and she may not have participated in anything else. The first time my mom did it was hilarious because she was, who's coming, who's coming, who's coming? Well, I better clean the house up better than I normally do because it might be somebody I don't know very well. And, you know, and she had like 4 different meats and 18 different vegetables. It was crazy. But she enjoyed doing it as well. So that was a way that we were trying to, a couple of places, just trying to get the gates, go stir the pot a little bit, get a different kind of hospitality going, and a chance for people to get to know others that they didn't know. Now, some people only volunteered to go to other people's houses. They didn't volunteer to host, and we let them off on that. You know, they can't host right now. They were willing to go associate with other people. That was fine.
So going off that, if someone invites you, go out of your way to try to be able to go. Because yeah. How edifying is that?
Yeah. So with Melissa, you don't know Melissa, but she didn't like to ask people over. And so knowing that about her, I mean, you really need to do whatever you can if she invites you over to her house to get to her house so that she doesn't go through that terrible feeling of rejection that she took personally. Brian?
Another way to kind of break through the gates, as you put it, is to put it on a schedule, to make a routine of it. I appreciated Jack Thomas, Joy Thomas. They would have their monthly Sunday lunch, and I think it was the first Sunday of every month they would have different people from the church over. And that was always, you know, on the calendar unless some, you know, emergency came up or something. But it's nice to just have that planned, and so hospitality just becomes a part of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, the planned times to do hospitality, but it's the first Sunday of the month. That's our time. We're gonna, unless something bad happens, we're gonna have people over the house. That's a great way to almost force yourself to do it. If we had, it sort of leads into the next question, if we had four people willing to do that, either at their home or take responsibility for inviting guests. So in other words, if I'm the first Sunday of every month, I just cook extra. And if the congregation has guests that show up that day, we invite them to our house that day, and somebody else invites them the next Sunday. And so you sort of have an idea of filling that. I think you guys, we do well at doing that. A lot of you really look for people who might need a place to go, and I really appreciate that. So that's something that a lot of you do very well. But if we were planning it, that adds a dimension to it. What else? Practical ways we can sort of encourage this idea of being more hospitable and getting to know one another better. Chloe has one.
You could have like craft days, especially like before a holiday, like one especially that you're going to give presents. So the crafts could double as like present ideas. I know in the past we've also had somebody had us get together and we made bags for shut-ins.
Yeah.
So we've done that too, which was a lot of fun. And that's a way to have fellowship, but also be servicing other people too.
Great suggestion. You get together, Brian did a little bit, this was more of just the making the bags, but applying that to maybe a craft, you're working on something together, then you're giving away. You make baskets. Shelley has done that many times at the house for different people around different holidays, get all the young people together or certain groups of people together, and they make baskets for people who might need encouragement. Things of that nature, a great way to socialize, talk in a sometimes less pressure way, right? Because you're doing something in the same time and you're not just sitting at a table or in a living room and it's like, all right, I hope everybody that we have together is going to talk and we're all going to mesh and we're going to have something to say. But this is giving you something to do in the process, and sort of some of that, I find the best communication is, even with kids, is like not when you're setting out to talk to them, it's just that when life is happening and you playing basketball with them or you're doing something else with them and you're able to have those deeper conversations. Shelley, especially both my boys, really open up to her in the car while they're driving. You know, when they're in the car, she has a, you know, they just, for some reason, they just open up and they start talking a lot more. And so it's not that sitting on the couch talking, it's, you know, going somewhere and something else. Sometimes people have game nights. I've known people to do card tournaments where you rotate partners all night long. So you're getting to talk to different people, get to know different people. Theme meals. The Mortons had a salad night here recently, I think, and they've talked about other nights that they've had. Potlucks are a good idea. And then because of something that I like to do, we've talked to a few people about what if we had a barbecue cook-off, you know, a contest. So how many people would be willing to participate in actually doing the cooking for one of those? Anybody like to smoke? Rory likes to smoke meat, right? He's a big brisket guy, all right. Emery over there, Jared over there. So how many of you would volunteer to be somebody who came and eat it? Okay. All right. So I guess it's a chance to get together, just a fun thing that we can do together. And I think all those are good ways for us to branch out a little bit and be a little more hospitable to one another. We have to push ourselves. Some people are naturals at this, and it's just who they are. Other people are naturals because they've worked at it, right? They've built the habit of hospitality. And so they seem like they're naturals and it's second nature, but it's only because of they've worked at it for a while. So I could do better. I think we could all maybe take one step in the right direction.
Whenever you're talking to someone and so they say, oh, we should do that sometime, bust out your calendar right then and put it in the calendar.
Okay.
Because otherwise it never gets done.
All right. Good practical suggestion. Whenever anybody says, hey, we ought to do that sometime, just get the phones out and say, all right, this is where we're going to do it, right here. And then so, hey, look, we should go to lunch sometime. Well, let's schedule it right now, because if we don't schedule it right now, we're not going to do it. Good suggestion. Any other comments about how we can use hospitality to edify one another? Any practical ways? All right, how about using hospitality to evangelize? We can go to the next slide. Using hospitality to evangelize. What are ways we can use hospitality to evangelize? All right, Brian needs a microphone. Somebody else raise your hand. Or I'm just.
It seems like we're living in a different time now, where all of our friends are outside of our neighborhood, either electronically or, you know, at the church or other things that we're doing outside of where we actually live, and we're not very close to the neighbors, literally like hundreds of feet away from us, and so it can really stand out then if you invite them over for a meal. That can be, it may make them uncomfortable because all their friends are, you know, they're feeling that same thing. But I think that's a good way to kind of stand out as different and say, hey, I'm actually interested in getting to know my neighbors on a closer level.
Yeah. How many of you have had somebody in your neighborhood over to your house to eat in the last year? All right. A couple people. That's good. How many of you haven't had anybody in your neighborhood over that you can remember in like 10 years? You just don't know anybody. I think that we just don't have relationships with people that we almost share driveways with. I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know what the holdup is to that. So, I mean, what is stopping you? I'm asking myself the same question. What is stopping us from going to the houses next door, introducing yourself, telling them where you live, letting them know if they need to borrow a cup of sugar or a couple eggs, that you're more than willing to allow them to do that? What do you think holds us up from that? All right, I got two microphones. We got another one back in the back. Go ahead. You have the microphone.
Just being scared of people in general, like crime rates. You don't know who you're living next door to. You don't know who you're inviting into your home. What if they're not good people?
Yeah, so you do have, we talked a little bit about this last time. You have to use some caution, right? You typically don't, if you don't know them, it might be a little more challenging. What's a way we can overcome that? Or is there a way? So let's talk about solutions, too, as we go. All right, Chloe has a solution. But, all right, you're going to have to hold up on that solution. All right, this is going to be difficult. All right, let's just go to the problems first and solutions next. All right, Brian.
Okay, sorry, what was the question now?
What is keeping us from knocking on the neighbor's doors and inviting them over and trying to develop a relationship?
That's right. I started going down the rabbit hole. Comment. I was trying to think of a response. I'm a preacher.
Okay.
And so I just told my neighbors, when I invited them over, I said, look, I'm a preacher, but I just want you to know, I'm not going to preach a sermon to you while you're over. I want you to let your guard down and let's just hang out, you know? But I think there's that concern, even if you're not a preacher, if just as a Christian, like you're concerned, oh man, we're going to get into a religious discussion and it's going to be awkward and how am I going to handle it and what am I going to say and all that. So I think that's a pretty big barrier.
Okay. So, I mean, I think, before we forget, how can we help, how can we sort of alleviate that barrier? So we're going to have put Herb on a timeout for a second and his problem. No, you can keep it. We'll just run one. Chloe, what's your comment?
Okay, so to Maryland's, you might be living near a crazy person or something. I think, you know, the old adage of like the buddy system works really well, especially like if I want to go introduce my someone or I'm looking for another place to live, I usually ask a man that I'm comfortable with to come with me, because it's good to have somebody that they will like see and they'll be like, oh, let me reevaluate if I'm going to be crazy kind of thing.
And I think one thing that we could do on that is if you do know somebody in your neighborhood, pair up with them and say, you know what, I just would think it would be nice if we got together with a few other families in the neighborhood. That way you do have the buddy system. Another suggestion might be outside barbecue, you know, maybe a little safer outside instead of coming into the house. So the first time I get to spend any time with these people, we're just going to eat in the front yard, you know, where everybody can see, you know, take any chances. So that's a possible solution. With Brian's, the one thing that I can just maybe mention here is don't put pressure on yourself that this is going to be anything, your first conversation with people is going to have to be some kind of a religious conversation, right? So just, if you invite them over maybe with the expectation that any religious discussion is going to be very minimal. I'm not going to bring it up. If they ask me a question, I'm going to answer it, but that's not my agenda. My agenda is just get to know them so that if something does happen and they need help, you know, they're my neighbors. I mean, they need help, I can help them, right? So that might be a solution for that particular one. All right, Herb, you're up.
I'm answering the question, what keeps us from, what was it, getting together
to
with
our
neighbors?
More, yeah.
It's two parts. The first one is the same old thing, fear of rejection.
Okay.
Some of us, maybe not all of us, have a very strong fear of rejection. And it's really hard to deal with sometimes. Linked to that could be, but that can stand by itself, is some Christians have not always done it well when they tried to reach out and evangelize. So in some of our minds, there's a reputation that some Christians have of being a little overbearing. And as Brian said, I'm not going to preach a sermon to you. Notice he had to say that because of the things that have happened in the past. And I think that's part of the problem. And it's not just preachers. I mean, it's just people, just Christians in general.
Yeah. I think sometimes when you are a preacher, that can work to your advantage and disadvantage. You know, so you figure out how to use it in a way to sort of disarm people or to help them feel better and at ease without putting that obstacle in. So it's not always easy to do, but that Brian says, hey, I'm just going to be upfront with it. I'm a preacher, but I'm not inviting you over to preach to you. I just want to get to know you a bit better. So he just takes it off it. Bonnie.
One thing I've found since Bill's been gone, of course, I got to know a couple of my neighbors when Bill fell. And I had one man that he said, you're 10 feet from me, you call me and I'll come pick him up. And he did. And so we, you know, I would take them food just as a thank you. And with the pandemic, I started walking, and I've met a lot of my neighbors that way. I've taken like a cake or something to a new family that's moved in. I have couple families with children. I try to remember them on holidays or stand and talk to them. And they know when I'm gone on Sunday where I am, you know. And it's been, they're very concerned about me. If they see me walking sometimes, I've had them pull over and say, do you need anything? I see you're out here, you know. And I said, no. But we've gotten to know each other, and it's a kind of a good feeling to know if you fell down or something, somebody's going to come help you picked up.
Absolutely.
And we talk about, you know, some of them go to churches, other places, and we do talk about God in Jesus, and so we're bonding, and it's a comfort to me in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes kids help in this situation. If you have kids in this neighborhood, your kids are buddying up together, and then you have to talk, hey, my kid was invited to your house. Let's get to know each other a little bit better. So before I let my kid come over, or, you know, whatever the case be, or my kid wanted to have your kid over, you know, why don't you come over and have a cup of coffee with me while they play or whatever. That helps. Just being in the neighborhood, walking around, being seen sometimes can be a big thing. You start waving at somebody. Next thing you know, as you're walking by, they're closer to the road. You stop, you talk for a little bit. So there's just a lot of things that we need to maybe instead of... we're like this a lot of times, at least I am. You know, I want to get where I want to go. I mean, most of us, a lot of us would... we prefer... the self-checkout, you know, we don't want to go into the bank and deal with the teller. We want, and that doesn't work in our favor of meeting people and just being a part of the community. So sometimes we just got to break from that and be like, I got to do something out of my comfort zone. All right, Retha and then Chloe in the back.
Somebody
have a microphone over here? And then, okay.
I think sometimes we also tend to judge people. About 3 weeks ago, we've had this neighbor that's lived there for about 3 years. They're very shady looking. But they had groceries delivered from Publix. And the food sat out there for like 5 hours. And I'm out there the whole time going, they still haven't got their food in. But I did not dare go walk over there on the door and knock on the door because I was scared. I'm thinking, well, maybe they're doing drugs and passed out and forgot about it. So I just stayed away from them. Well, then all of a sudden I hear crutches. And I look, and this woman, she opened her door, and by now it's almost nighttime. And she's trying to bend over on her crutches and get the bags. So I went running over there to her, and I helped her get in. And come to find out, she just had surgery. She had bone cancer in her leg. Mm. So I helped her get everything in. We started talking, and, you know, then I felt awful. I mean, that still eats me up. And there was cold stuff in there, and she said she had just got home from the doctor. She was in pain. She took a pain pill, and she fell asleep, and then all her dinner was ruined. So we got to sometimes just make ourselves stop judging a book by a cover and do what's right.
Yeah, good point. And then, as Brian pointed out next time, we can't live our lives in fear of doing what God wants us to do. We have to have some faith. It has to enter into the equation at some point, right? We can't just be always afraid of everything, and therefore we don't do anything. If that's the case, we're going to be maybe even worse than the one talent man, you know, that we didn't do anything because we were just afraid for our own personal safety. So we let everybody else be lost. That was Chloe.
You can send cards to your neighbors or people, and you can just introduce yourself in those cards. The numbers are right on the doors. So it's not like you don't know people's addresses, and you can just say like, hi, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. And you can do like a little like evangelistic thing in the card too.
Yeah, you could. You could do whatever, however you chose to do. I like the idea of sending a card to your neighbors that you don't know. I mean, it's sort of interesting. Just want to let you know, this is where I've lived for so many years. And I mean, it's good when you see new people move in or when you move into a new community. That's sort of a best way to do it. But, you know, I'm ashamed to say, it's just hard sometimes for us to do it. I just go over to the next door neighbor and knock on their door and introduce yourself. It's just we don't like doing that stuff, and so we probably need to step out of our comfort zone a little bit better on those things. All right, so it looks like we have just a couple seconds left. Dave's getting ready to hit the buzzer, the bell. Thank you everybody so much. Next on Sunday, we're going to lesson 14 on Sunday. What are some things that might stop us from close the book and we're done with that quarter and move on without learning and using and implementing the things we've learned.